This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
For all voices, this is Joy.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Nevena. Our next guest is Cerise Howard, Program Director of Melbourne Queer Film Festival. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you. Good morning to you both.
Are you exhausted yet?
Yes.
Yes? Okay.
Yeah.
David, we're very interested to hear all about the fabulous Melbourne Queer Film Festival. Would you be able to tell us what has been happening, what films you've seen, and what the vibe is this year?
The vibe is, it's a very broad vibe. It's a maximum diversity in mind, maximum historical dimensionality in mind. We're looking backwards in order to look forwards.
Yeah.
We're looking forwards in order to look forwards, but we're also very much rooted in the present because that's what we have to operate in as well. And sometimes that requires some very fleet-footedness on our part. We've thrown together a program in no time flat and secured wonderful venues galore, including iconic ones from the festival's past.
Yeah.
The Astor Theatre for opening and closing night, yes. The glorious Capitol Theatre on Swanston Street for a number of major screenings as well. We're North Side, we're South Side, we're Central. We're just trying to cover all bases. We're trying to be all things to all people.
So there's no excuses to not get out there and see a film.
Well, there really aren't any excuses. I mean, the tickets are even cheap, are they not, David, who has just joined me, my colleague.
They're good value. Officer. They're good value. Well,
there are two Davids in the room now because David Harris, CEO of the festival, has also joined us here.
So David and Cerise, the film festival has a very, very long history and, you know, disclosure here, I am a life member, but I haven't been able to organise to get there this week, but I have downloaded the stuff, so I'm going to get to
give us a call, Macca.
I know, it's just, but, you know, this is such an important part of our community's culture and our community's voice. And, you know, we often, I think people don't realise just how important this festival is. And I always used to say, you see people at the festival that you actually don't see often at other events. Mm. You know, so people have come, you know, from regional Victoria and from the, you know, from the suburbs to come and watch films. How important is the festival, you know, to our community? Can you give us a reflection on that?
Well, I think we, reflecting on that, it really goes to our theme this year, which is, as Cerise said, that rewind to fast forward theme, and that, you know, from a curatorial perspective, we really wanted to respond to the zeitgeist of what Victorians, Melbourneites were going through at the moment. Oh, I've got another microphone. And so, you know, we're recognising that the festival is really a space for solidarity, joy and connection for community, because we don't have a lot of those spaces from a, you know, there's Midsummer outside of MQFF and Midsummer. You know, we've got clubs and bars, but that's not for everybody. It's really important that we've got a culture sharing space for community, and we do have people coming from far and wide in Victoria to Melbourne to participate in this festival. And this year, you know, we're responding to a lot of the you know, transphobia that's been going on, a lot of the anti-drag movements that have been going on at the moment with Drag Story Time. So we're really, you know, this festival is very trans, it's very gender diverse, it's a very fluid program in general at the moment, so people can come and have solidarity in their identity. Yeah. We're also doing a lot of things in homage to our drag community as well. Our closing night solo is going to be a drag extravaganza, and there's plenty of those films and public programs throughout the festival to respond to what's been going on for community this year.
And can I just say one thing, and Nev's got a question. I love the word queer. I love reclaiming the word queer, and, you know, I understand a lot of our listeners feel very uncomfortable with that word, but I love it, and I'm glad that it's part of the festival's name.
I love it too. I mean, Cerise, what's your thoughts on it? I think listeners here know mine.
As an umbrella term, it's all encompassing, so no one need feel excluded by that term. But if there are other letters in the alphabet soup that people feel more aligned to, well, this is a festival for them too. It's an LGBTIQA+.
Yeah.
And I'm really fascinated by what the plus has in future for us all yet as well, because we are continuing to evolve. Our identities continue to emerge and intersect, and you know, there's a lot more to come. So I think I understand some people historically might have had some reservations around that term, the Q term, which can also stand for questioning, and I like that as well. But really, it is a term that does its utmost to do a whole lot of all-inclusive heavy lifting.
And we're moving away from these silo kind of programs of, you know, there's a gay stream or a lesbian stream or an intersex stream. It's a really fluid program, as I said before, so people... You know, a lot of the films are multi-community within their narratives, as we are as well, and it's intersectional. So it's an intersectional program, and I would really encourage people to go see those films and see those titles for the narrative that you find interesting, not just because, it, you know, you're a gay man and it's a film about gay men. There's lots of different things in the program that you can view that you'll get a lot from.
When it does come to programming, what is your thought process that goes into putting together such a diverse and expansive film festival?
Well, it's trying to do right by the community in all its breadth and diversity and potential. It's also trying to cater to my own cinephilia and projecting that outwards, because my interests are wide-reaching and I'm fascinated by people, the human condition generally, broadly speaking, across space and time, and I don't see why other people shouldn't have that basic fundamental curiosity as well. And look, for some people might be quite habituated into seeing only certain sorts of films at the festival, but I would urge everyone out there that the better to feel part of a bigger community and to have an enriched cinema and film festival experience to get out of your own lane a little and see how some other folks live, some of your fellow community members. We can only all of us be the stronger for that experience.
And cinema has that ability to be immersive because, you know, you have, you can see music and that can be deeply transformative, but it just holds this particular place in arts and culture. And I think that's why one of the many reasons why MQFF is so important.
Well, it's an art form that contains multitudes. Exactly. There are every art form pretty well that you can almost imagine is contained within it. Yeah. So it's so endlessly rich and generative. And even for films that we're screening that have had some airplay before, some historical titles, if you've seen them before, come see them again.
Yeah.
They're not the same film the second time, especially if there's been 50 years in between viewings. A lot has changed in the meantime. And sometimes those films are very different, sometimes in ways that are very surprisingly enriching with a bit of time between when they came out and where we are now. We look at things through such different lenses, all of us.
Yeah,
so let's lean into that richness and that complexity and that nuance.
So, David, 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon...
Twice divorced.
Twice divorced, yeah. 33 years. There has... can I take a punt and say there's probably been a million people?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Easily?
Yeah,
easily?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, now, I mean, we've got, you know, each festival's got the capacity. This one's got the capacity of about 26,000 people can come and view it.
Wow.
You know, and you think about all of the, you know, literally probably tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people who've been involved with the festival as well in volunteering.
Yes.
Each year we have about 200 volunteers coming through, rafts of people who work in our office with us who dedicate their time. It's a really community, big community organisation that, you know, comes together to produce this.
And the big bang, you know, is when the festival starts. But there's, you know, 11 and a bit months of work.
Oh, my God.
You know, soon at closing night, the next day, you know, brush yourself off and get ready for the next festival.
I write a lot of grant applications.
Yeah.
But one thing I want to let everybody know this year as well, today, because it's on till Wednesday, is that we've got for concession card holders, so students, pensioners, anybody with a concession card or the like, our concession tickets are $12.50 until Wednesday at 6 o'clock. So get in now. We've got an early bird concession rush because we really wanted to, we're in a cost of living crisis at the moment. People are doing it tough. And we wanted to make sure that everybody, especially our young community members, could access this festival.
Yeah.
So the board and I
made the
call.
Thank you.
So get in now.
That's appreciated.
That's really important. Cerise, I'm going to ask you this question, then I'm going to ask David.
Okay.
What is your two favourite screenings in the festival?
Tough. It's very tough. Well, look, the opening night film, I think, is going to be a real highlight. Yeah. I Love You, Bexman, a wonderful, profoundly queer Philippinex inverted rom-com, let's call it.
Yep.
Where someone tries desperately to come out as straight and their entire extremely queer family struggles with this. And it is gorgeous, so funny, and so actually profoundly moving and profound in what it has to say about how people make all sorts of assumptions about how gender presentation and sexual orientation are matched, when often they can be a mismatch or something constantly oscillating and in flux. So there's that, and that'll kick off the festival in great style and leaning into a whole lot of the thematics that are so important this year, I think. And for a film with extraordinary emotional heft, I would have to say All of Us Strangers, starring Fleabag's hot priest, Andrew Scott, and British actor, or Irish actor, I must say, of the moment, Paul Mescal.
Yes.
Claire Foy and Jamie Bell in the most extraordinarily moving film I've seen in many a long year. That's a real bring at least a couple of boxes of tissues affair, that one.
And you, David?
There's this great doco called 1946, A Mistranslation That Shifted Culture. And I think we'll have the filmmaker over here, Sharon Rocky Rockigo from the US. And she's a lesbian brought up under her father's a preacher, and she has done a huge amount of research, and she's like this one, she's a woman on a world mission to talk about how gay, being homosexual, got put into the Bible.
Yes.
And in 1946, and she did the research to go back and find out when in America this mistranslation happened. And it's a really interesting, wonderful documentary about the intersection of religion and queerness, and the politics around that. Really, really important documentary that I saw in BFI Flare in London and had to bring over here for us. The other one that I'm really excited about is I'm a period film nerd. I love me a period film, like Helena Bonham Carter in a corset. I'm there. The Chambermaid, really, really interesting film and beautifully shot, beautiful cinematography.
We're out of time, unfortunately, David and Cerise.
Can I just say, Macca, mqff.com.au, run, don't walk. Get your selections in now. I'm overwhelmed with the choices that we have, so make sure you get your tickets, especially if you're a concession card holder. Yeah,
till Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Little bit of stat for you. 0.0007% of the Bible refers to homosexuality. So when they inserted it, they didn't put it in very far. thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having us on the show.
Stay with us. Now, really quick, coming up word for word, Lisa Dano Daniels interviews Evanna Dalloon, burlesque performer, teacher and mentor.
And Macca, we just want to thank all of our guests, Carolyn Gillespie, Director of Services from Thorn Harbour. We also want to thank Georgia Radjic, Australian sports commentator, Ben Eltham, unionist, writer, journalist, Liz Walsh from the Victorian Socialists, and our friends from the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. We also want to thank everyone who's respectfully engaged with their comments and feedback today. And we also want to thank everyone for their feedback. Take care of yourselves. It is a very hard and complicated time. We will keep engaging with hard and difficult issues because we know that resonates. Thank you for your respect.
Come down. If you're going to form, if you're going to take a position, take the position on the side of humanity. Have a nice day.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.